perfect and ours is needed to be subjugated to His. So I thank God for that. In our Psalm 80, if you go back there at our time together tonight, in the Psalms, we're spending some time in these Sunday nights in Psalms. Psalm 33 says this, verse 10 through 12. You can look at that if you want, or just I'll read it here from the text. Psalm 33, verse 10 through 12 says it this way: "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." And certainly that truth rings in our ears today as we think of the blessings in our past as a nation and the hope for God's blessing on our nation in the future, in the days to come. Today, as I said, is a day of remembrance and calls us to look back on what has been and look back there, and also to look ahead at what is, or really what can be as we look ahead. The prayer of the psalmist here, the prayer of Asaph, is a prayer for his nation to return to better things, to better days. It's a prayer for a return to the things that the soldiers we memorialize here today stood for, whether they consciously understood it or whether they were unaware of it, what they were fighting for. The soldiers that we have seen remembered in the video that we just looked at were men who all had a common purpose in fighting for principles, fighting for freedoms, for liberties that oftentimes were not their own. In fact, most of the time were not their own. The fact is that the soldiers in wars that we talk about from the time of the Civil War to the present hour have not died in wars where our nation invaded other nations to seize and subjugate those nations of people. The soldiers that we have sent to foreign lands to fight and to die were people who died in fields of battle for the freedoms of others. We didn't go to Iraq and Iran to seize those nations and take control of them and subjugate them. We had the military power to do that and could readily have done so. But that's a distinction that America has had, a difference that America has had in the course of nations. We read of the wars of the past and know that nations often have and continue to rise up and invade and seize control and subjugate other peoples. We know that is the case today. We recognize that in the world today, the scourge of slavery and enslavement still is very real in many places in the world. Yet that none of those things are the causes for which American soldiers have died. And so in our Memorial Day, it's a bittersweet time in a sense, but there is not the sense of wasted life and wasted sacrifice for the most part in the memorial of our American soldiers. And for that we thank God. And we have the psalmist here reflecting on his nation in Israel, and we see some real parallels there, as we always do, as the psalmist is calling for a turning that can only be done by the hand of God. We have in America the military power to do things that would have a great impact on the world, but we are not praying or calling on that, the works of men's hands, the works of the powers, of the might, of the military. We don't find the psalmist calling for that action. He's calling for God to put his hand on the nation and for God to turn us. And that's what repentance really is. It's a turning. When you are called by God as an individual to repent, it means to turn from something to something else. And yet, even the ability to turn away from sin and to Christ for our salvation, even that ability, that strength, that grace, that help, that mercy is given to us by God. So when the psalmist says, Lord, turn us and we shall be turned, it's very true. It's very true. When we come to Christ for salvation, there's nothing in it of us. We're simply submitting to His power to turn us. We're simply being willing to be turned. And that's what repentance really is. It's defined in the dictionary as, first of all, a change of mind. Now, it does lead to a change in life, change in direction, a change in our actions. But all of those things come about because God turns us. We're frustrated when we try to actuate the turning, the repentance. We're frustrated when we try to live like a Christian should live without the Lord having turned us inside. You know, when we just try to do it, it's a frustrating and an awful thing when we try to do the right things by the strength of our will. And too often, the trust for salvation really rests with what we can do. You know, I can do this. I can read the Bible. I can say prayers. I can come to church. I can, you know, get my hair cut just like the preacher wants it to be cut. I can wear a tie. I can put on a suit. I can pass out tracts. I can do all of those things and yet have the same black heart that I started with, you know. I can do all of those things externally, but with great frustration and with great dissatisfaction. I can only do them in the power and the grace of the Lord when He has done the turning inside. And so repentance is for us, for our part, nothing more than a willingness to let God do the turning. And so the psalmist is praying that, not individually now, but he's praying that nationally. He said, Lord, we're a nation that has turned from You, and we need to be turned back to You. And here the psalmist was recognizing that all the stuff we have tried isn't working. And all the wisdom of Solomon, who tried all the avenues that the world has to offer, that's not working. And so he says, Asaph says, Lord, turn us, and we shall be turned. First, it's a prayer for a national turning back to God, as we read there in verse 3. And he notes our impotence without His accompanying grace to help us. Our nation has been praying for 250 years. God bless us. Where we need to turn the prayer to something else, maybe, before we ask for God to bless us anymore, we need to pray, God, turn us. God, turn us so that we can be blessed as a nation again. Is God able to bless a nation who stands in the stead that our nation stands in today? It's difficult for the Lord to bless a nation who by and large has in many places and in many senses forgotten Him. So we need to pray really as a people, as Christians, as these that the psalmist talks about here. He mentions some that are strong, made strong for Thyself, he said in verse 17. Let Thy hand be upon the man of Thy right hand, upon the son of man whom Thou madest strong for Thyself. We need to pray that as God has in this nation those that He's called out for His purposes, that God help us, that You have made strong in the faith for Yourself, for Your purposes. God help us to fulfill those purposes. And so we have that. Asaph, though, brings to remembrance the foundational godly heritage of the nation. And here's where Memorial Day comes in. We have this weekend, and tomorrow we have an opportunity, a day off work, a time where we don't have to show up and punch the clock, maybe. I hope you got the day off, unless you work for one of those places that serves everybody else on the holidays, and and that. And so if you got the day off tomorrow, you have the opportunity to take some time for reflection and to think about these things. But that's what Asaph is calling his nation to in the midst of this psalm, in the middle of calling out to God to turn them as a nation. He goes back to reflecting on some of the blessings that they as a nation once enjoyed. In verse 8, he said, thou hast bought, has brought a vine out of Egypt. You took a nation out of another, like he did in America, out of England. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou prepared a room before it and didst cause it to take deep root. And it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. And the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs under the sea and her branches into the river. He's talking about a nation that came out of another and then began to flourish, was rooted down and growing up and flourishing in the land, growing in strength and growing in influence over all the earth, so that this young babe of a nation became the envy of the world, so to speak. God had his great purposes in blessing this nation, as we see in verse 14 and 15. He said, I want it to be like a great tree that shadows and covers and protects and helps others and blesses others and reaches its influence to the far reaches of the world and the sea and the rivers thereof. And a nation at one time and in many senses was that. It was that. And so that's what the psalmist is reflecting about his own nation. You see among the prophets of God when they preach, and you see it in Isaiah, we saw it this morning a little bit, you see how the prophets of God desired that the nation of Israel would be a blessing to all the world. There was not this sense that some have in the conception of Israel now. There's not this sense that we're it and we're God's people and we don't want God's blessing on anybody else. That wasn't the sense when we read in our Bible in the New Testament of the attitude of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and so forth. That was the attitude. It was us four, no more. It was we want to isolate ourselves. We're God's chosen people and no one else. And so that wasn't the spirit that God put in the prophets of God and in the people of God in the days of God's blessing in Israel. It was different than that. It was a sense that they wanted the truth of God's word to go into all the world. It was a gospel sense. It was a preaching of the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. See, it was that. But that changed, and they turned inward, and they began to live for themselves and of themselves. And we as a nation have followed suit in many respects. And so the psalmist is looking on that and reflecting back on that and saying, what happened? Well, changes happen. Verse 12 says, why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast out of the field doth devour it. So we have a change that took place. Their defenses are lowered, and all of a sudden they're susceptible to all of the dangers that are presented before them, and they don't have the defenses to take care of that. The effects of the works of devourers are seen in a land in Israel. The wild beast and the boar. These are the effects of the works of devouring beasts. May I say to you today that we feel the effects of the works of devouring beasts in our land. And every day in the newspapers, we read of those effects in our own nation. We mourn daily at the loss of innocent people's lives because of the effects of the wild beasts that roam in our land. Those that have given over all sense of decency, all sense of honor, all sense of right, and have lived after their own lusts and gone after their own ways. Those are persons of which there are ample examples in our nation have had their influence. And that's what he's talking about here. He's referring to what happened, Lord? What happened? How are the walls fallen down? How are the stones broken down? How are the wild beasts now able to roam freely? And the effects of the works of the devourer. And the Bible tells us plainly who the mother of all devourers is, who the who the example, who the picture of all devourers is, and that's the great devourer himself, Satan, Lucifer, the wicked one, the devil himself. That's the one who is the author of all devastation and destruction, and that's what's happened in that nation as the psalmist calls out to God, Lord, we're in a mess, and we're under the spell of the devourer. God, help us, deliver us, turn us. It's a people there in his nation who have come to the place where they have a diminished or a non-existent desire to know God, to see God. Verse 16 says, it is burned with fire. It's cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Here he says, it's a nation that has not even looked upon you, who does not even wish to see you, to look you in the face. It's a nation who is under the judgment of God. And so it is there. One of the reasons that America has seen the judging hand of God to some degree stayed and held back is that promise in the Bible that tells us that the nation that blesses Israel will be blessed of God. And we as a nation have been one of the few that have taken a position to support and bless and encourage Israel. By and large, as a nation, we've taken that. So when many other things aren't right, that is one thing that has remained relatively right. And that is one of the things, I believe, that stays the hand of God in judgment, full judgment against our nation. But the fact is that certainly we as a nation are experiencing to one degree or another the beginnings of the chastening hand of God upon us. And so we as a nation also ought to be looking on a Memorial Day and on a season of the year when we celebrate the heritage that we have. We ought to be also thinking, God, we need to be seriously praying about you doing a work that we cannot do ourselves. The Christian citizen's prayer is seen in verse 17 through 19. He says, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So we will not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. It's a prayer for the Lord to do the work in us. It's a prayer to be moved from froward to the other word, toward. We use the word commonly toward, but we don't so often use the word froward. It just means the opposite of toward. Toward means toward God, in the direction of God, looking toward him, going his direction, following after him, looking for his face, looking upon him, looking to his word, toward. Froward means, you know, we say to and fro. Fro means away from. So froward is the way that this nation is now, and they have not seen the countenance of God, but in chastening. They have not wanted to look upon the face of God, and so they are a nation froward. We as Americans, as a nation, I think could be described by and large that way, froward. We have been looking to the genius of man to save us. Oh, man got the answer. Science has got the answer. It's going to be in science. And we have been sorely disappointed. Well, the answer is going to be in the communication and connecting the world. You know, there's the answer. The internet, where the whole world can be connected. But we have found that's not the answer, is it? And it's not gotten better, has it? It's gotten worse. I want to read you something from today's paper, as current as today's paper. It's an interview with Evan Williams. He's the founder of something many of you use every day, Twitter. We have a few twits in here, I think. Twitter. But something in social media, he's in the center. He's in the center of social media. And he's being interviewed here. He says this. And I'm talking about how we are froward from God rather than toward. And we have our backs facing him, and we've looked to man and the genius of man and the genius of man's technology. We're going to figure this out. We're going to get a cure for all the diseases. We're going to get a cure for wars. We're going to get a cure for men's hatred and men's evil against other men. We're going to cure all that. And we've not seen that happening. We've seen it getting worse. We've seen it getting more pronounced. And he says it this way. He says, here we are. The interviewer says, here we are in 2017. How's it going, Mr. Williams? Mr. Williams responds, I think the internet is broken. He's believed this for a few years, actually, but things are getting worse. It's a lot more obvious to a lot of people that it's broken. People are using Facebook to showcase suicides, beatings, and murders in real time. Twitter, this is his baby, and this is what he's saying about it. Twitter is a hive of trolling and abuse that it seems unable to stop. Fake news, whether created for ideology or profit, runs rampant. 4 out of 10 adult internet users said in a Pew survey that they had been harassed online. And that was before the presidential campaign heated up this last year. Evan says this, I thought once everybody could speak freely and exchange ideas and information, the world would automatically become a better place to live. William says, I was dead wrong about that. Here's the inventor of Twitter saying, I thought the world, when it got all connected and interconnected and everybody was able to share and get over our differences and talk, the world would be a better place. But he said, I was wrong. I was wrong about that. Oh, yes, he was wrong. And anyone that depends on technology and the thinking the answer is going to be in science and the answer is going to be in us investing in the intellectual capabilities that the university will provide and us being able to dump more billions into education and being able to just get people to the place where they really get over their prejudices, get over their hatreds, get over their self-centeredness. It isn't going to happen, my friend, without the Lord doing the turning, you know. It's going to happen only when the Lord does the turning. And so he says, the psalmist says, Lord, turn us and we shall be turned. And that's our prayer. That's our that ought to be our desire as we think of Memorial Day and those that have given their lives for the liberties that we enjoy. We should say, God, we've been blessed as a nation, like the psalmist said. We've been helped as a nation. We've been given so much as a nation. And yet we've taken the turn now in the wrong direction. We are more a froward than a toward. God, help us, turn us, and we shall be turned. When we're praying tomorrow, God bless us, and we should. Let's also pray, God, turn us as a nation as well. Turn us, turn me, help me to be what I need to be. Help my brothers and sisters to be what we need to be. Help our nation to be what it ought to be. Let's stand together, and we'll give an invitation. And tonight, if you need to respond here at the altar and spend some time with the Lord, just talking to him about some things, the opportunities here. Maybe